How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Masks Weekly Radio Show on Family Matters. Mask mothers and fathers aligned, saving kids, kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health struggles, including addiction. If you know somebody that needs a referral for a therapist, an inpatient or outpatient program, please give them our number, 718-758-0400. I'll repeat the number. You may want to jot it down for yourself, a loved one, a neighbor, or someone you usually would sit next to in shul. Our number again is 718-758-0400. All calls are kept strictly confidential. One can even call anonymously, describe what's going on, and we will try and get you to the right program, therapist, psychiatrist, whatever it is that you may be looking for. So tonight, I'm very, very grateful that my friend Tom Parker was available to be on with us tonight. He is the Director of External Relations with Lindner Center of Hope, which is in Mason, Ohio. He's been with Lindner so many years, I think it's already 13 years, and Lindner is celebrating actually this year its 15th anniversary. And Tom not only works at Lindner, but he also is working on writing a play about codependency, which he'll share more about with us. I'd like to welcome you on. How are you, Tom? Thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much. I am so pleased and honored to be part of your esteemed program. I've heard so much about you through our industry. You're well known and well liked, and I just feel honored that you would want me to step in today. In fact, I'm in New York City today. I came in for some meetings, and this just was a perfect way to end my trip.
That's great.
A perfect ending.
Well, I'm happy to have you on because everyone in the industry knows how devoted and caring and available you are to families that are struggling with addiction and mental health struggles. So thank you for making the time. I know you had a busy schedule in New York, but thank you for making the time on the way out. Tom, let's first talk about Lindner Center of Hope. Please tell my listeners about it.
Thank you very much. My favorite topic, Lindner Center of Hope, opened 15 years ago, is a freestanding psychiatric hospital. And we opened with all the services families would want locally, regionally, nationally, and internationally. And so people come in from all over the world and all over the country when they're looking for answers, if their loved one has a mental health issue and maybe an addiction issue, and maybe three or four things going on, and they just can't find a solution or a diagnosis or the right medication or the next steps. So this is who we are, and we have 400 employees, which is, it's pretty big, independent, freestanding psych hospital, actually. And I'm one of the 400, but I'm on the road all the time. I'm also a clinician, so I get to help families in, I believe, a really thoughtful clinical way.
You do, and I know how available you are to help them navigate this most painful, confusing journey that their loved one may have. It's a big challenge when one has to pick a inpatient program, and we're going to talk more about it, but I'd like you to just share what makes Lindner unique.
I believe there are a handful of hospitals like Lindner Center in the country, and we are part of a group of hospitals devoted to helping individuals and their families with something we call comprehensive assessments. More than an hour conversation, but several days of testing and evaluation and observation. And then we conclude the 10-day program with something called a feedback session. So for the first time, often families and their loved one can be, you know, Skyping, a loved one will be there live, of course, because they check in with us, with all of the professionals, a team. And the team will reveal and uncover what was discovered with next step recommendations. And what we've noted is many people will Google and end up in a program somewhere, and it wasn't the right fit, and therefore have, you know, spent time and money and emotion, and they could have started at a hospital like ours to get a roadmap for next steps and success. So that's kind of our part of the continuum, helping when we can redirect and create a roadmap for recovery and healing and wholeness.
So interesting for so many families to know that when you're placing your loved one in a rehab, which can be, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 a month, depending on every rehab is different. It's so important. You don't get very many chances. Usually when a loved one goes to a rehab and they're discharged, they may not all, but many may not want to go back in if they didn't finish the program, if they weren't ready and motivated yet, if there wasn't enough money to stay longer, even though it was suggested that it would be better for the client, et cetera. So with going to Lindner to be assessed properly, like you said, is a roadmap. You get clearer idea of what the patient may need and an understanding better of which rehab they should be placed in and for how long minimum based on what Lindner's recommending for their whatever protocol that they need in order to be successful in their recovery.
Boy, that is well said. That is about the best I've heard it explained. During COVID, a good friend of mine called. He'd been in the business for years, and he said, what do you think the secret to success is for someone wanting to find sobriety or, you know, a better place? And I said, a good assessment, the right treatment program for the right length of time, and then follow along care. If you miss out on any of those steps, it feels like you've gone down the rabbit hole. You know, interestingly, when we break a leg, well, I hope we don't break a leg, but should we break a leg, right? it's so easy. You go to the doctor, they know exactly what to do, and you get a piece of paper called a discharge plan, and you're on your way. Mental health is more like the Wild West. And I explain this to families. And I'll say sometimes, I'm so sorry. I bet you feel like you've been going around and around. And I believe it's because we are not as systematic as we could be. A good assessment, the appropriate treatment program with the appropriate length of time that matches budgets, and then ongoing care, case management or therapy. And I don't think we tell our families that it's a longer journey. Because when you get your leg fixed, it's a cast and it comes off in 6 weeks and you're on your way again. But with mental health, sometimes, most often, it's a journey. And we go down that road, we need professionals and helpers to keep us on the road. Not only the right road, but keep us on the road. I think sometimes we're afraid to say that to families. Mental health can be a journey.
So I'm glad you bring that up, because at MASC, as you know so well, we let parents know that before you have your child admitted, make sure that your loved one, I say child, it could be any age, a married son or daughter, it could be any age, that your loved one is assessed before they go in properly, because when they're discharged, we want them to have the doctor to go to immediately, the day or the day after their discharge, that they know already. Not that they start now coming out after 3, 6, 9 months of a rehab or a year, and then they're starting with a new therapist, and they have to start with that onion again and start peeling all those layers. And lots of times that will throw somebody quicker into relapse. So our decision at MASC is not to sugarcoat and to say it the way it is, that be prepared for the discharge. The going in, where you're going, which rehab is very important to choose the right one, and not online, and not because your friend sent her nephew or brother, sister there, but an addiction specialist, and like Lindner Hospital's program, evaluate, assess, so that you know everything that's underlying where it began, whether it's mental health, whether the addiction began because somebody had a death in the family when they were very young, somebody has a mental health diagnosis that wasn't treated very well. You're the therapist. Can you explain MICA, please? Not everybody knows what that is, the mentally ill and chemically addicted.
Sure, that's really a good question. In fact, we used to call that dual diagnosis.
Right.
When I was starting in outpatient therapy in rural Kentucky, I worked for a dual diagnosis clinic, or three of them actually. People would come in, and they would come in because they were depressed or anxious, and we would have to do a drug and alcohol assessment, and we were a dual diagnosis program. And you know what's interesting about that? There is the next frontier called complex comorbidity. So dual diagnosis has kind of grown into not just mental health and an addiction, but maybe a couple mental health diagnoses plus addiction plus personality issues plus medical conditions. And we believe that the answers are in the next frontier of complex comorbidity, which is three or more diagnoses. And what I learned about dual diagnosis has morphed into triple and quadruple and more diagnoses. Did you know that almost 100% of people with bipolar disorder have three or more diagnoses?
Yep.
Isn't that something? Think about, so they, you know, sometimes, and most of the time, they're still playing out of the dual diagnosis playbook. Well, I have a mood disorder and I have an addiction, but they don't get better. I was talking to someone recently who had this kind of mental health profile, plus something was missing still. You know, coping or giving medication for a mood disorder and going to recovery still wasn't addressing it. And what they discovered was this person also had acute anxiety, which was never diagnosed or treated. So the person would start using marijuana again for the anxiety and go back into addiction. Just that one piece of information that was missing, because the provider was looking for dual diagnosis, not complex comorbidity. So we believe that in this next frontier and post-COVID, individuals coming to us are likely to have three or more diagnoses. And sometimes that third one is not identified yet.
And I think 99.75% of the world since COVID has a diagnosis of anxiety. It's so rampant now that people just can't cope like before COVID.
Boy, that is a great point. You are so right. And I guess we've become used to being a little anxious, and we just take it that it's a normal thing, but it really is not.
Right.
And interestingly too, someone who has anxiety could have other more profound mental illness. And I think if anxiety is a starting place, and you're exactly right, the majority of people come to us, say they're anxious, but there's more. Usually there's some sort of mood disorder or depressive disorder, there's some sort of addiction, and then trauma. If you've gotten through COVID, you certainly have some sort of trauma too. So we're looking under every rock, and it matters. You know, in relapse prevention, every rock matters.
Absolutely. And by the way, Tom, people have to realize that even if something happened to your child in fourth grade, they were bullied, in ninth grade, something happened, whatever it may be, molested, it's compounded daily. The
yes.
pain, the hurt, the trauma. So it may not sound huge if, you know, we get parents that say, but he was only molested once.
Oh boy,
Once is too much, but compounded daily, that secret, that pain, that trauma, that confusion. And now they're 26 years old. And on top of it, they have anxiety. And on top of it, they have other pain and confusion going on. It's a disaster in the making.
Well, and, you know, for those who have been through these small T traumas, maybe never been to Vietnam or in a hurricane, big T trauma, oftentimes when they report that they had some sort of small T trauma, the people they report to, including their families, will say, oh, get over it, like you were referring to. And that secondary trauma, like, okay, now you don't get me. So
absolutely.
It really can, you know.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. We get that a lot. Tom, let's talk about what's so important to every religious mom and dad. Do you offer kosher meals?
We do, and we opened Lindner Center of Hope with a spiritual care center. McLean Hospital in Boston helped us with our footing. They're very good friends of ours, and they were made many recommendations, including, you know, serving as many families as possible with various backgrounds, faith backgrounds. So we opened with a spiritual care center, and we have Orthodox rabbis who can come to Lindner Center, and we also have kosher meals. We also know that sometimes the families who are referring their loved one are Orthodox, and they are just really content to know that we are focused on that. And sometimes the loved one comes to us and it's been estranged a bit from the faith, and will reunite with the faith because our chaplains are very gentle in guiding the spiritual process. And I think that's really remarkable. You know,
really
a lot
is.
Of them,
yeah, yeah, really is, Tom. And we know many families that have been to your program and have just had wonderful outcomes. I do want to go to the conversation about codependency. You did bring up that parents, you know, we both are saying that parents are worried about their children and having kosher meals. And you said not always is the, you know, their child interested in having the kosher meals, and the chaplains get them slowly to want it and reunite. And we both know that they do request it. Many times parents say, oh, I only want kosher for my child. And the child goes, I don't care, I don't eat kosher. But when they go in on their own and their parents aren't around and they're not looking anymore to punish their parents or anybody, then they usually ask for kosher meals. So Lindner has that available, parents. So just know they're in good hands, your family members. Tom, let's go to codependency, please. Tell us a little bit about the play you're writing and what motivated you to do that.
Oh, that is, I love this topic. Thanks so much. In fact, I was here in New York looking for theaters that we could even have this after LA coming up in the spring. A good friend of mine in California who works for a program said to me one day, you know, the one diagnosis that we almost don't talk about, I don't know why, maybe because so many of us have it, codependency. You know, the inability to say no, feeling guilty about being assertive, not being able to tell your kids no or set boundaries. We hear that all the time. So it would be fun to do a playful play on codependency. And the title of it is, So How You Doing? And we ask that question to people, and we really, I want to know because I want to help people. Am I codependent? Maybe. So I think there's a level of codependency that goes too far, though. When we want to help people and we don't take care of ourselves, when we want to help people and we don't set boundaries and actually harm other people because we do it for them, or we have expectations that are too great for them, then we feel wounded when they don't meet up to our standards. So this play is a playful approach to codependency. So it's not terribly serious, but it's playful enough that we get it. And we say in the play, this play was written by, directed by, acted by codependent types or those in denial. Thanks for coming.
Very good. Can't wait to watch it and be there for opening night with you.
Thank you.
I'd like to give a shout out to our friend, Laura Smith, our good friend, Tom.
Yes.
So let's Let's do a little commercial about Laura, please.
Oh, I love Laura Smith. I love that she cares for people deeply. And I love Seasons Malibu. We have a patient going there yet this week. Really operated by clinically thoughtful individuals. And it's one of the smaller programs. You know, a lot of programs are getting large. It's okay. But I like the fact that they're small enough that the owners know exactly who's doing what when. You don't go very far to the house without, you know, clinical oversight. And I really appreciate that. In their
right.
Program.
We just had a client there who did absolutely wonderful work. And she's really doing well. And I hope that she continues to do well. So let's just end off with what you would want to say to somebody, a parent, who's considering sending their loved ones to a rehab and not knowing for sure what's going to happen when they go in the rehab. Why don't you tell them what would be most helpful?
I think doing research is really important, not just Googling, but talking to people who really understand, like yourself, the process, the levels of care. I think the one mistake most families make is not understanding levels of care. It's more than inpatient and outpatient. And it's levels from acute inpatient to assessment to residential to transitional to partial to intensive outpatient to case management. And I believe this is complicated, and I believe that it's oftentimes not in insurance models, but it is so important, like stair steps to a basement or stair steps to an attic. Each step counts. Therefore, Googling isn't enough. Talking to professionals like yourself is where you have to start. I would encourage everyone who has a family member in need of anything to talk to a professional navigator. That's what you do. You navigate. Because if you don't understand the levels of care, these ads on the internet will entrap you into thinking, oh, that looks really good because there's a tennis court or whatever, but it's a lot more. And this is complicated. It's the Wild West. So I can say to the family, find a navigator. Find an organization like this one who can help you with your first step because it really matters.
Absolutely. Thank you. Tom, you mentioned financially, not everybody has coverage that covers. Does Lindner accept insurances?
Our assessment program is out of network, but we do call the insurance company to see if they will accommodate something called a single case agreement. And that is a special contract that can happen with good insurance. I will say this, though. When someone has limited resources, they can still go through the steps. There still are assessments that are shorter term that even in an outpatient practice, it's better than not having one. They can still go to treatment, which is in network, which is better than not going. And they can still do follow-up care in network. Again, going back to navigation. If someone calls us and they're unable to afford one of our hospital type assessments, I work very hard at creating something that will accommodate them using this three-step system of a thorough assessment and the right treatment and then ongoing care. And some families then will enroll their kids in community mental health and Medicaid and so on. And that's fine. I mean, it's not so much about, it is about money, but it isn't at the same time. But the long journey, how can we help families with the resources they have make it work over time? And I love to help families do that, even beyond Linear Center. And Laura Smith does too. We're committed to this. And I know you do as well.
Absolutely. And anyone that wants to join a parent support group by Zoom still, please give us a call to register. On Sunday night, Ishaya Krauss facilitates a group for blended families, second marriages, bringing up each other's children. Monday night, Dr. Debbie Ackman. Tuesday night, Dr. Shmuel Brachfeld. And Wednesday night, Rabbi Dr. Ben-Zion Twersky are still by Zoom. Dr. Trish Atiya, the first Tuesday of the month, in Brooklyn, in person. Call Mask for more information. And in the five towns, Cheryl Friedman, in person. So again, call Mask 718-758-0400. So you can get more information on all the Mask groups. Well, Tom Parker from Lindner, thank you so much for coming on, and I sure hope to have you on again soon. So much important information to consider before choosing a rehab for your loved ones.
Thank you very much. I am just humbled that you would invite me.
Well, it's great having you on, and I hope to have you on again soon. And
I
can't wait to your opening night.
You'll be there.
Okay. Well, I want to wish everyone a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos, and always remember, hang in, hold on, and virtually still hug tight. Tonight's show is in honor of all the Chayalim and bring the hostages home. Thank you. Please consider to go online to maskparents.org and donate so that we can continue with all the mask programs. Thank you and have a good night.
As New Yorkers, we like things fast. And when it comes to COVID-19, it's all about acting fast. Acting fast to get tested and treatment if you have COVID-19 symptoms. Treatment works best the sooner you start and can help you avoid serious illness. So act fast, especially if you're over 65 or have pre-existing conditions. Call your healthcare provider or 212-COVID-19 for testing and treatment options. And remember, COVID-19 vaccines are still the best protection.
Butternut, 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 butternut.
Nestled in the heart of the Berkshires, Ski Butternut is an independently owned ski area and tubing center located in charming Great Barrington, Massachusetts. This year, we've partnered with L.L. Bean to bring you $25 lift tickets and $25 tubing tickets every Friday, excluding holiday periods. We are also serving up complimentary s'mores for the kids on the weekends. With 22 trails and 1,000 feet of vertical, Butternut is renowned for having the best snow in the region. We offer ski and snowboard lessons for all abilities and ski levels, from the first-timers to the seasoned vets. In addition to the ski mountain, Butternut has an 11-lane snow tubing center with a surface lift to make getting back up the hill effortless. Ski Butternut is your go-to destination for family fun this winter. Ski Butternut, where families go to play in the snow.
against serious illness from the virus. Visit nyc.gov/vaccinefinder today.